in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good, Gene Johnson. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans. Producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows. Interviewing celebrities and showrunners. And bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to AfterBuzz TV's after show for Grey's Anatomy. We're back again. I'm your host, Marissa Serafini. Joining me, I have...
Jay Howard. Good to see ya.
Just us two once again. Don't worry, people will come back eventually.
Hopefully. I feel so like we're so alone. But it's good.
But it's us two.
It's good.
We're cool. There you go. So we are doing episode 12, My Next Life. What were your thoughts about this episode? Did it move you?
It didn't. I really enjoyed last week's episode, as we talked about last week. I thought it was a fantastic episode, and I thought it really moved the story forward. This episode didn't do a whole lot for me on the moving me spectrum. What about you?
I agree. As a whole, I don't want to say filler because a lot of people say that, but it was point A to point B. There was one story that was moving, and I think
which
it
one?
Was very the Daphne story. We'll get there.
Okay.
Daphne patient.
See, I didn't even know which one exactly you were talking about.
That provoked some emotional, it pulled at the heartstrings just a little bit.
Yeah.
But overall, I mean, it's like this was a fairly simple, not over the top, over dramatic kind of episode.
I think I was thinking about it before we got in here, and I think the best way to say it is it was kind of a catch up episode, because I think what happens when you have a cast like this where there's so much stuff going on at this point, there's like 511 different storylines going on, that especially when and they've done it twice this season. The first episode after the after the break, and then last episode where they focused on one person or one storyline. That they kind of have to like do an episode where they're like, all right, let's just get everybody freaking caught up and get little touches in on all the other storylines.
I completely agree. I think you said it best. It's this: we got everybody, and they seem like they're... I mean, we'll get into it, but people didn't really change or move forward or progress. The storylines are just, okay, this is what's happening now.
And you know what? Here's the thing. I think that's fine.
But we did get some good exposition from an overlying a story that we still haven't figured out since the winter. So
we did, yes.
But we'll get to it.
You know, like as an overall like kind of show... from a theme perspective, I think it's okay to have
simple episodes.
Yeah, episodes that are just like, hey, it's kind of a catch-up episode. So maybe it was a little harsh when we opened up. It was fine. You need these episodes. Not every one episode can be like a huge emotional punch in the face. Sometimes you need some peaks and valleys. And this was, I don't know if it would be a peak or a valley. I guess it would be a valley.
Maybe a plateau.
It was a plateau. It was like mid-mountain.
There you go. I think... To that point, last episode was so emotionally everywhere, literally, with April and Jackson, that I think, again, we needed a good breathing type of episode, and we definitely got that.
I drove home after we taped last night, just driving through LA, like, late night, just contemplating life, like...
what?
So I just, this is good, like, I'm not gonna be as...
This is good life.
...as depressed.
So, let's start with Joe and Karev. Of course, they're still together, and we, the audience, still don't know if she accepted the engagement or proposal, more so, or not. And she sees Karev's ring still in the drawer. And then the whole episode, she's just contemplating whether she wants to be with Karev, she doesn't.
Yeah.
What do you think of... just Joe's hesitancy about this?
And this kind of plays into my prediction of last week, which is, I kind of thought that they weren't going to take this relationship down a super serious path, which they really didn't. I kind of thought that they would present it as a little bit more of a lighthearted, kind of like cutesy I don't know. And I think that's indicative of both of their characters. And I think that's what happened. It just kind of as they addressed it, and even her hesitations don't seem like they're like super, super deep. They just kind of seem...
on the surface?
Yeah, the roots aren't as deep, which is fine. You know, but I think that's just kind of indicative both of their characters and of their relationship really throughout the last few seasons or however long it's been.
And I'm just trying to remember because their paths never really cross in the most recent episodes. And I'm trying to remember like how they even interact at the hospital. I think the only times we see Karev and Joe on screen is when they're alone at their house, their own place. Mm-hmm. It's not in the hospital.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a very good point. I mean, have they even addressed... Have we seen them at the hospital since before the break? Before whatever, November?
I'm trying to remember, and I don't... I want to say no.
No.
But...
Whatever. She finds the ring in the drawer, right?
And yeah. She's getting her girlfriends and talking about this. But she says the line, don't want it right now, but I don't want it gone.
I don't want it, but I don't want it gone. Yeah, right? I wrote the same thing down. Yeah.
So and she's just up in the air about this.
Yeah, and it to me it just seems like there's her character to me just seems a little bit. I don't mean like the development of the character. I mean her actual character in the show. She seems a little bit immature, and I think that line is perfect. It's a perfect indicator of immaturity of just like I don't really. I don't want it right now, but I also don't want it like the option totally taken off the table. And that's why I say that the roots in their relationship don't seem as deep, just because I think they're maturing Karev as a character.
They're not emotionally mature.
Right. And as we talked about, even more as a friend to Meredith, even more than anything. But I think that it seems like her character is just a little immature and a little bit more surface level. And I think that line is... Yeah, it makes sense with that character. Like, I don't want it right now, but I also don't want to take it off the table either. So,
Do you think she'll actually say yes and we might eventually see their wedding?
I don't know. I mean, they're going to have to do something with Karev and his love life, I feel like. Before the show wraps up, they're going to have to do something with his love life, I feel like. If you look at, I mean, just his entire character arc of being kind of like the playboy jerk in season one, I feel like they're going to...
He's softening up, though. He's been living with a bunch of women, and he understands women better. Mm-hmm. He knows how to socialize. Mm-hmm. He's more empathetic.
And that's why I think before they close, and I'm talking about close the whole show out, I feel like he's going to end up with someone because I just feel like that arc for his character makes sense. Is it Joe? I don't know. Maybe.
See, the thing is, even with this proposal, it has now, for in real time for us audience, it's been 3 months. We still no answer. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, it's just died. The fire's kind of gone. I'm really, as a viewer, really not interested anymore. Only because we still don't have an answer. We probably won't get an answer for a long time. I'm really not interested anymore.
Well, and see, and that's why, you know, that answer is not a very satisfying answer for the viewer because it is not, it kind of seems like the writers just wanted to push that off. Like, hey, we don't really want to deal with this right now in the story. And so we're just going to kind of push it off. So I don't know. I don't think a lot's going to come from it, at least this season.
Yeah. Do you think more will come from April and Jackson?
This season?
This season.
Oh, of course. Yes.
Or, I mean, we had the whole April and Jackson the movie. What was it?
J-April the movie.
J-April the movie. Oh, my goodness.
I thought that was the name of the episode because so many people were tweeting at
us. That was the hashtag. That was the hashtag. Everywhere. Trending for sure. But we've got a little bit of them tonight. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of them last episode. But April and Jackson, they have to now split their...
Their cell phone bill, and I think they just
something as simple as that.
They moved that storyline along just a little bit to remind us like how awkward it is. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw what someone tweeted at us.
Uh-huh.
The screenshot of the paper.
Oh, the paper.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
I'm trying to find who.
Yes. So while you're searching for that,
yes,
it was also. And that might just go with my predictions because we see April, she signs those divorce papers, but we still didn't see Jackson. So I still think he may not have signed it. But Jackson wants out. You can tell. He paid his cell phone bill. There are no loose ends. And he's pretty much, he didn't want to leave anything open.
Okay, so Kina Gonzalez, I hope I said your first name right. She tweeted us a screenshot. I don't know, did you see that?
I did.
Of the paper. And if you have not seen it, she sent us a screen, and Jackson's name is not on it.
Jackson's name's not on it.
She did a frame freeze or whatever of the show of screenshot. while April's signing it, and then Jackson's name is right there printed, like typed below it. But there's no signature above it in the signature space.
And that's what I'm saying. The
that was your prediction last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was my prediction.
Oh man, look at you.
2 weeks ago, and then last week, kind of pretty much validated my thing. But we have yet to confirm it.
That's 100% what happened. He didn't sign it. 100%. 100%. He didn't sign it. So they're not divorced. Are we gonna just between you and me? Are we operating off that theory?
Yes.
Okay, let's do it.
So off that theory, do you think April will now tell Jackson she's pregnant? Kareb knows now, which I loved how Kareb even said the lines like, you gotta tell him before he finds out. Mm-hmm. Because Kareb's been working in peace, like he knows.
Right.
He's literally surrounded by women and babies. He knows what's up. Mm-hmm, I liked how he was the best person to point it out to April. You have to tell Kareb. Mm-hmm. You are pregnant.
Wait, you mean you have to tell Jackson?
Oh, yes. Sorry.
Right.
You have to tell Jackson you're pregnant. Do you agree with this?
Do I agree with the fact that I think that
April should tell Jackson.
Oh, well, yeah, of course. Yeah, for sure. And like this, we talked about last week was, you know, you can't tell him while you're sitting in the chair because that's, you know, playing the pity card almost. It feels like, I don't know. She's freaking pregnant, so she probably should say something.
But also, I mean, I did bring it up last episode during when they were signing the papers in the courtroom, whatnot. That was a terrible time to bring that up if she was. Yeah, that she was pregnant. So, not good timing. I think she says she will eventually when he's ready.
Yeah. That's going to be an episode in and of itself, I bet.
Oh, another J-April the movie?
Sequel. J-April the movie. The evolution continues.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, something crazy
so
like that.
So much. So, we just got a little bit of them, but things have yet to be answered with those two. All right. What do you think of Arizona and Weber and their fun wingman wingwoman relationship that they've been having all season?
Honestly, it's a little like, it weirds me out a little bit.
It's weird, but yet it's funny.
I don't know, it just like weirds me out. I know they're trying to make it kind of endearing, but it's just like there's such an age difference and their characters are so different. It just freaking weirds me out. I don't know, it's just strange to me. But I think it is endearing when he, you know, at the end of this episode when he was kind of talking about when she was saying, you know, you can't be my wingman and my dad.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, okay, he's looking out for her. I like that. But yeah, that just kind of, it just plays off kind of strange to me. Right. I don't know.
I love her line at the end. It's like, I'm too young and fun and you help me be slutty again. It's like, what? That was Arizona's thought process.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good to just have a friend that just helps you along your times of your slump, I guess, your emotional slump, your romantic slump.
And the fact that they found the most, the character that is farthest away on the spectrum of similarity
being
to her,
with,
to help her through that. And I think that just, it's there to add some comedic relief to the show. I mean, right?
Oh, for sure. And I think that every episode you have to have that moment of levity, and we definitely got it with them too. But it shows that Arizona, like, she's trying, and even Weber said, even at the end, it's like, I want you to have the best, pretty much like the best person in your life. And it's like, don't sell yourself short. I thought this was sweet. So even after all these times of wingman and being really not serious. It does come to the point where they understand each other and they actually genuinely do care about each other.
And what is she there for in him? What does she give him? Because I think he reminds her, hey, you're valuable. Don't sell yourself short. But what does he get as a character from that relationship? Just some brightness, I guess?
No, I think it's more so, you got to remember, Weber is like the papa bear of that whole hospital. He's the most parental, fatherly, paternal figure you can have there. So I think it might just give him that feeling. It gives him a reason to be a parent again. Mm,
yeah.
And to care okay. and look out for someone.
That's fair.
From yep. a fatherly figure type of mentality.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Philosophy. So, as, I mean, and Weber's, I don't want to say been around, but, like, he's had his relationships and ups and downs at that hospital. Goodness.
Haven't so they all?
I think it's, like, it just gives him something to do and be interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like, why would he still be at the hospital?
Right.
Because nothing really ties him anymore.
That's
true. Other than just loyalty.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Well, and his daughter.
And now his daughter.
Segueing into the next point.
Let's get to Maggie. Megan DeLuca. Because now Weber knows. Uh-huh. And this was just awkward. It was so awkward how they kept just overtly telling us that they're sleeping together. Wildcat, they bring up Wildcat again.
Right.
And then even Arizona getting in with these, like, just all these moments where they just kept literally hammering it into us. Like, okay, we get it. We know. They're sleeping together. Let's make it more awkward.
Well, and what's that point where they're...
Great hands.
Yeah.
I beg your pardon.
They're sitting together. Wait, that was Maggie, right? Yeah. Okay, yeah. So him and Maggie are sitting together, and yeah, he's got great hands. Okay. That's funny.
And yeah, and they're in the actual operation room, like, crazy sex drive.
Right, right.
Like, no. It's like, they were literally telling us and making it more purposely awkward.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, okay, we get it. It was funny. Again, it was the storyline of levity,
mm-hmm.
which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But Maggie and DeLuca, you know, they're not sleeping. And I love how Maggie was like, I haven't had sex in days. And she's already going crazy.
Right.
Girl, just calm down.
I can't really tell what they're supposed to be doing with their relationship. What, like, where do you think that they're... Are they going to take it in a serious route? Or is it just supposed to be there to be lighthearted and...
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't really see it going anywhere. It's fun for now. I've said it over and time and time again that it's a relationship out of convenience.
That's a good... Yeah.
And because, I mean, when their biggest problem in the relationship is that the daddy might be in the next room.
Mm-hmm.
That
yeah.
they haven't really gone to, like,
it's not a lot of depth, right?
Yeah, hard stories with them.
Yeah, and it seems like there's enough going on in the rest of the season right now that they don't need to dive too deep into that storyline. Yeah.
But now they know that Weber is Maggie's father, and DeLuca's, like, freaking out,
right,
too.
Right.
But they still get it on. It's fine.
Whatever.
Right. So that was them. Wow. Amelia played such a big role in tonight's episode.
She
and
did.
Meredith, of
she
course.
She did.
And we've been slowly seeing the... Well, we know that they've always had issues with each other
mm-hmm.
for this whole season. And we're slowly seeing it progress. And it's getting better. It's on the up and up. So we have the... patient of the day, more so. Well, we actually had two patients.
Right.
Katie Bryce, who was actually Meredith's first patient.
From the first episode.
From the pilot.
That was so smart.
Anatomy.
That was so smart. And when we were talking before, and you said you were reading an interview about her or something.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll save that for News and Gossip.
Oh, let's save that for News and Gossip. Don't go down that route just yet.
But Katie Bryce, the rhythmic dancer who had an aneurysm,
uh-huh.
like literally a 1 in a million shot that her fall caused an a certain type of aneurysm that they couldn't find in the first case back in the very first episode, which was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, Meredith feels entitled because mm-hmm. that was technically her case.
Right.
And Amelia has to take it over because it's now a neurosurgeon. And she's not Derek Shepherd.
It's, you know what was really cool about this specific patient and what they did with her is they used her story to dive into multiple storylines and develop multiple storylines through just her story. So
yeah.
in her being a patient, we see just development in just Amelia's character of just her struggle with herself and is she good enough, and then mm-hmm. we see development in Amelia and Meredith's relationship, and then even through that we see, you know, later on we get to Riggs's story. So it's like there's a lot
yeah.
of development based off of this one patient.
Which is really actually smart for storytelling, and that was a great device for someone who literally tied Amelia, Derek, and Meredith together. Because that triangle is like the trifecta that causes pretty much
everything just, else like, happens around it.
Their whole tension between each other. Mm-hmm. So let's have one thing that's related with all of them, mm-hmm. and have them literally like resolve it in mm-hmm. a way, which is smart.
Right.
That's brilliant storytelling. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So Katie, she's now not a rhythmic dancer anymore, but she teaches
gymnastics now.
She's a coach.
Yes.
I really liked how they brought her back. We find out in her scans that it looks like a tumor. It's big enough to be a tumor, but it's actually an aneurysm.
Mm-hmm. It's always an aneurysm.
Causes Amelia all types of questions. Mm-hmm. Am I good enough? The Derek did, because even Katie's like, are you better than him?
Right. Yeah.
Please don't kill me.
And I wrote, she writes down, or I'm sorry, I wrote down, Katie asks Amelia, are you as good as your brother?
Yes.
And I wrote, like, it's like, that's a defining question for Amelia's character is, I guess, number one, am I as good as my brother? But then even deeper than that, like, it's just, am I good enough? Mm-hmm. You know, she's got all these struggles with her sobriety and, you know, and her question is, am I good enough? As a doctor, as a girlfriend, person, as a friend, as a sister, and as a human being, like, am I good enough?
It's a hard-hitting question. And I liked how even, because in previous episodes with Amelia, there was the line, you know, you don't hate her for being the wrong shepherd.
Right.
She always had that underlying problem that she's not Derek. Everyone wants Derek, but no one wants Amelia. So, like, she has to be good enough mm-hmm. just to be herself. Mm-hmm. Which is, I mean, that's a terrible place to be stuck in. Mm-hmm. So I liked how.
And if you think about it, like down. as her overall development as a character, that's a really smart thing for them to do. Is they bring in this character who fundamentally has the question, "Am I good enough?" And then they make her brother essentially a copy of her, but just better.
Better.
And you know what I mean? And it's like it's a really intelligent way to structure the storyline of like. That's her fundamental flaw. And then they capitalize on that by giving her a brother that is like
10 constantly, times better than
she is. Yeah, like presses on that flaw.
The golden child mm-hmm. compared to the one who's the mess up.
Right. And so even after he's dead, people are still asking, literally asking, are you as good as your brother? Mm-hmm. You know?
Again, it's a terrible place for her to be in. So mm-hmm. I like how every episode we do know that's an unresolved issue with her, but she still goes to the hospital and proves herself every single day. So for that, Amelia, I will applaud you. And she actually has a successful surgery, which is great, because even at the beginning of the episode, you know, she has sex with Owen, and so she's all happy on cloud nine. And she kept saying over and over again, it's a great day, it's a great day. Mm-hmm. 'Cause no one, and again, with the whole underlying theme, like no one died because it's a great day.
Right.
I liked how she started off on a positive note in this mm-hmm. episode, and she ended on a positive note.
Yeah. I think just in this conversation, I'm realizing I think I really like her character a lot. I think I like the way that they developed her character. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she comes in on a positive note. You're right. Yeah, she struggles. She learns a little bit about herself.
That she does.
And even you could say she answers the question, like, yeah, at least in this moment, I'm good enough, you know?
She is good enough. She's a good doctor, says Meredith. Mm-hmm. And I liked how, even before the actual surgery, Meredith, because it was her original case, and uh-huh. she still feels very much a part of it and obligated to add her 2 cents, she kept sending Penny back and forth and checking up.
That was a funny scene. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's kind of a metaphor for how their relationship is right now. Like, they're trying to communicate. There's a little bit of blockage. But there's still some messages getting through. They're like, trying.
They're still communicating in a way, not directly. There's still a disconnect because they have to use someone else.
It's still stunted, but it's there.
But they're working together in mm-hmm. a sense. Mm-hmm. It's extended.
It's gonna get better. It's gonna get better.
It's getting there. It's on the up and up. Mm-hmm. And I still like Amelia. I say it every episode. I feel for her. Mm-hmm. It's like, I know she struggles, but she tries. Mm-hmm.
So and even like in her sobriety, when she says, you know, this is my
60-day.
Fourth 60-day, you know, mm-hmm. chip or whatever. Like, but that's great.
Fourth time. She keeps trying. Mm-hmm. She might fail here and there. She might have moments where we're like, ugh, all right, I mean, mm-hmm. let me get it. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, she's trying.
Yeah.
So I like
her. We like you, Amelia. You're welcome here anytime if you want to sit right here.
Absolutely. There's a seat big for you. Spot right here.
This table's actually made for four, so.
Yeah, you can definitely fill the space. So What do you think of her in a relationship with Owen now that she's, in a way, she's kind of a new Amelia?
I like, you know, it's cool. I like it. The very end when he was, you know, they were kind of like resetting the boundaries or the rules for their relationship, and he was had the boot on, you know, his hands or whatever. That was good. I found yourself rooting for her. Like, okay, I feel like you're on the upswing a little bit. You're on the upswing.
She looks clean. Even the audience is reminded that she is clean now. Mm-hmm. She wants to start over. And I liked how he's like, no, we're still going. Mm-hmm. Like, we may have stopped, but we're still going. We're brand new. And we're together. Mm-hmm. So I think they're more defined than Karev and Joe are right now.
Yeah, they are. They could easily that's a good point. They could easily develop that relationship quite a bit faster than Joe and Karev. Even though, like, they almost got engaged.
They almost did. Okay, so who will get married first? Owen and Amelia? Uh-huh. Or Joe and Karev?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say Amelia and Owen.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
I would totally agree with that.
For sure. Yeah, I think so. I feel good about that.
At the rate that Joe and Karev are making us wait just for one simple answer, mm-hmm. they could be married
the next day. Have four kids. Right. Exactly. Yep.
Their relationship is moving faster. Mm-hmm. Yes. So let's get to Meredith. Meredith, of course, the big part, big episode for her. Mm-hmm. And her case with Daphne. Aw, poor Daphne.
Felt so bad for her.
I know. She's just, this was the story that just made everyone feel, as Grey's Anatomy does every single episode. It's like there's always one hard-hitting thing, and this was it. So Daphne, cancer free.
You think, yeah, patient. That's what sucks. They declared her cancer free.
She started on a happy note, and she didn't end on a great note either, but we'll get into it. But Daphne, cancer free student, and she was
studying to be a honors. Physicist or whatever. She was studying physics. What was she studying to be? She was a physicist.
She was an honors student in college. She was literally at the end. She her life was in a positive upswing, and then it went. And a downward spiral.
One stroke of the scalpel.
The scalpel. Oh, my goodness.
And it
all
went to chaos.
Yeah, and even Meredith's check. It's pretty much, it was just a standard checkup. But she ends up bleeding out. She had, here we go with medical term.
Do it.
Pseudonymias. Yeah.
Do you look these up before? Oh, you know, no, I know what you're doing. You know, we watched this with captions on it, so we can make sure we understand. That's what it is.
You're absolutely
you dirty trickster. Okay, I got it now.
Absolutely,
you're not as smart as I thought you were. I just figured you out.
Pseudonymias. There you go. Man. But pretty much, she's bleeding out. The clot. It's not clotting. The blood is not clotting to the point where she now has to go into surgery. And during that chaos, she was having Penny running back and forth. Mm-hmm. But she was healthy. She was cleared of cancer, and she was literally bleeding out to the point where they even, Riggs got involved.
Mm-hmm.
And when Riggs got involved, that was not good because it shows that it was progressively getting worse.
Uh huh.
And
the
blood.
So she had a checkered past with her son and kind of abandoned her son.
David.
She's feeling shameful about that. And so when all this stuff goes down, Riggs comes in, and when he realizes how serious it is, gives her the phone, and right then and there, I was like, well, she's dying.
Yeah.
Gives her the phone to call her son and make things right. And then, like I said, if you know anything about anything, you know. It's like,
you know that was
he's not going to make it, or she's not going to make it.
Because they kept telling her, it's like, call him, let him know.
Like, don't call him, don't do it.
And she I liked how they used that device too, because it, in a way, it gave us hope. But when she finally did it and called her son, and then even teasing the audience, like, yeah, I'll see you soon. I was like, no,
you won't, David. Trust me, you won't.
And she's just bleeding out, all that blood, and then.
Side
Needless
note,
to say, she died.
Side note, they need faster freaking elevators.
They do.
I'm sitting there like, they don't have faster elevators. They're like, y'all sitting there and just.
They waited 45 seconds for an elevator.
Ding!
Someone is literally bleeding out. You have the whole physical trail of blood.
That was a great shot, by the way. I liked it. That was a cool shot when they were running down the hallway and the blood was dripping behind them.
So if the elevator was faster, do you think she would have survived?
Probably not, but I just like, that can't. I'm like, come on. Come on.
No, it's really bad because there was a whole nother episode where there was that serious operation. They're like, make sure all the elevator doors stay open.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So that's how slow the elevators are when they know they have to keep them open. Uh-huh.
There's got to be a better way.
Oh, goodness. Well, we can't use stairs. Maybe just not even have, I don't know,
yeah,
the solution to that. But yes, I agree. Faster elevators. So she passes away.
And the son gets there at the last moment, and I was for sure they were going to pull it on us and she was going to open her eyes. She's going to be actually alive. I was like watching her real close. I was like, I'm not taking my eyes off her. She's going to open her eyes, or she's going to like twitch her finger or something.
I thought the exact same thing. Because
he grabbed her hand. I was like, did her hand just move?
Like, did the eye flicker?
Did her hand just move? I don't know. No. She was actually dead.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Because even when they rolled her out, maybe minutes before, her whole body was covered. So we know as an audience that she passed away.
Right. Yeah. I just didn't want to believe it. She was so sweet. She was so sweet.
And I think that's the problem with Grey, that we fall for every single time. The patients we like for the 5 minutes on screen, that they're so nice to each other. We already fall in love with just a handful of minutes.
Why didn't the rhythmic dancer go?
They attack someone like Meredith, or they actually just end up dying.
I want to trade Daphne for rhythmic dancer. Let's trade them.
Yeah. Daphne got a second. Daphne passed away, but rhythmic dancer Katie got a second chance.
That's true. At the end, she had a little bit of a change of heart.
Yes, she did.
Right? Going into that, and...
My next life. I think that's where the title comes from. She lived again. Uh-huh. So it's another life.
A new lease on life.
And in a new Amelia, she has another new life.
She did.
And even Meredith's teachings.
Like, keep it going.
This is a life.
Yes.
You have to thank whoever died because you're learning from them.
Preach it. That was good. You just like freaking threaded it all together. I love it.
But that's the whole theme and message of this whole episode. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Which is great. Because at the beginning, the whole line, it's a good day where no one dies.
Mm-hmm,
It ties it all together.
Mm-hmm.
Literally. It's like we have to appreciate the people that we can learn from. Yep. Even if something tragic happened to them, even if they are dead, we still show them with respect.
Because
you'll still learn from them.
Boom. Good. Love it.
Done.
Killed it.
Anything else?
I think we just leave it.
Yeah. Maybe we just leave it at that.
Don't mess with it after that.
But, all right. So, a little bit of news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
So, congratulations to Grey's Anatomy. We are officially renewed for season 13.
13.
Yes.
Do we have a prediction how long you think it's going to be? How many seasons do you think it's going to be? If you had to guess.
They're going to gun for ER's record of 15 seasons and be done with that.
Yeah.
Because the last time Grey's Anatomy was renewed, they were renewed for 2 seasons. So we technically didn't really get a renewal last season. We knew that this season was already in the books 2 years ago.
That's right.
And it's interesting that this show only got a 1-season renewal this time. We don't know if there's going to be a season 14.
Right.
So... I love the show, you guys. I really do. But
it's on this
last few seasons. Okay. It really is.
Yeah, I agree. So, I'll say 15. I'll agree with you. 15.
15?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're all very, very excited. Congratulations, ABC and Shonda Rhimes and everyone.
A lot of their shows got renewed, actually.
Yeah.
A lot of Shonda Rhimes' shows got renewed. Like 8 of them. Or not, like, they weren't all hers,
really,
but yeah.
All of them. But, yeah, so a lot of ABC shows just in general got renewed. We're very excited. Another season of Grey's. More to come. More patients and doctors and stuff. But in the meantime, let's go to predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Oh my goodness. All right, so we see in the previews that... Who is it? Callie? Meredith? Joe?
Jackson.
And Jackson?
Mm-hmm.
Joe was a part of that, right? Yeah, Joe was part of it. Those four, they have to go to another hospital.
Yeah.
And deal with a case there. What do you think is going on? They seem like there's already tension from the other hospital crew that they have to work with.
I was trying to think. I like don't even know. They didn't give you any like, they didn't really give you any explanation of what to expect.
Other than going to a whole new
location. Yeah, they're in a new location and they're dealing with new people that they disagree with.
The handsome, rugged doctor certainly disagreed with him.
you paused it right on him. You were interested. You were interested.
He was already very intriguing to me.
I'll make just a, I don't know, shot in the dark prediction. It's going to be somehow related to... I don't know.
I think it's just interesting to see these doctors work with another group of doctors. Because it's always, you always get the immediate tension.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even when they had their merger years ago with Mercy.
No one does things the same way.
Yeah, with Mercy West, is always like conflicts of how they go about things. And I think it'll just be that kind of same tension. Yeah. Like, no, you're on our territory.
No, the psychoplasmic.
Our turf.
Right.
This is how we roll.
Yep.
You guys don't know what you're doing. Are you even confident doctors? Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Do you think it revolves around another? Do you think it revolves around like a disaster or just like?
That's hard to tell.
They don't give you any information.
It's hard to tell because why bring four doctors instead of one?
Yeah.
So it has to be something serious enough to bring literally a crew.
I don't know. We're gonna find out though.
Operation.
We're gonna find out.
We will. So while we're pondering what's gonna happen, in the meantime, Rick, can everyone keep following you?
You can find me at JF Howard on all things social media.
And you can follow me here at AfterBuzz TV on Twitter, at Serafini TV. Follow all of us at AfterBuzz TV, Facebook, Instagram, all those fun places. And congratulations to Grace. Season 13's in the works. And we will see you next time.
We will.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.